우리는 그 예수를 주인으로 모시고 있는 사람들입니다. 여러분이 교회에 온 것은
We are the
우리처럼
ones who have accepted
예수를
Jesus as our master.
믿으려고 혹은
The reason
내가
you came to
예수를
church
모셔야 될까? 과연
is
예수를
to
여기
accept Jesus
초청하실까?
as your master,
하고
just
이렇게
as
온
we
것은
have. You might have
교회
come with the question,
다니는
should I
사람들,
accept
교회
Jesus
믿는
as my
사람들은
master? Is Jesus
예수를
worthy to be called master?
주인으로 섬깁니다.
Those who go to
그리고
church, the believers of
예수를
Jesus, serve
하나님으로
him as their master.
알고
And they
있습니다.
know that
예수는 하나님이십니다.
Jesus
하나님은
is God. Yes, Jesus is
만물을
God.
지으신 분입니다.
God is the creator
이
of heaven
주님께서
and earth and all
만물하고 모든
things.
것을
He
지으셨습니다.
made the universe and everything
또
within it.
사람도 지으시고
Man
짐승들도 지으시고
and animals.
사람을 지으셨기 때문에
Since he
하나님은
created
어떤
man,
분인가?
he knows very well
그래서
about
사람에게 뭐가
man,
필요한지,
what man needs,
사람이 지금 왜 위기에 빠졌는지
and why
잘
he
아시는
is in a
분이세요.
crisis.
그래서 우리 사람을 도우시려는
He
분입니다.
wants to help us humans
지금도
and even
여러분에게
now
그 호흡을 주고 계십니다.
provides us with breath.
여러분이 호흡하는 것은 노력해서 호흡하는 게
You don't
아니죠.
breathe by making a conscious
내가
effort,
힘을
do
줘서
you?
호흡하는 게
You
아니고
don't need to make a
잠들
conscious
때조차도
effort to
모르는
breathe
호흡을
and
합니다.
still breathe even in your sleep.
하나님께서
God
그런
made us
관대한
that
분이세요.
way.
여러분이 머리를 깎을 수는
You
있지만
can cut your
머리를
hair,
자라게 할 수는 없습니다.
but you cannot make it grow.
하나님께서
It is
자라게
God
해주시는 겁니다.
who makes it grow.
그리고 머리카락은 계속
And
자라는데
your
눈썹은
hair
안
grows
자라요.
continuously, whereas your
눈썹이 계속
eyebrows
자라면
don't.
어떻게
What would
되겠습니까?
happen if your eyebrows did
계속
grow
눈썹이 깎아져야
constantly?
됩니다.
You would need to
조금
trim
안
it all
깎으면
the
눈썹은
time,
잘라내기
otherwise your
힘들어요.
face will be covered with your
근데 안
eyebrows.
자릅니다.
But your eyebrows
유전자가
don't
달라.
grow. The
눈썹
genes for your
파고
hair
머리카락
and
파고
eyebrows are
기능이
different.
다릅니다.
Your
그런 것들
eyebrows
다
and your hair
하나님께서
serve
그렇게
different
만들어
functions.
놓으셨어요.
God fashioned us in this way.
바로 그 하나님께서 우리가
The
맞닥뜨리고
very God
있는
knows the
어려운
danger we are
환경이 있습니다.
facing.
무슨 가난 때문에
This
이런 상황이
danger is
됐고
not due to poverty,
또 나이가
nor
든다고
is it because we
위험해지는 것이
are
아닙니다.
aging.
진짜 위험은
The real
영원한
danger
위험입니다.
is
영원한 위험.
eternal danger.
바로 사람에게
The
영혼이
spirit of
있습니다라는
man
거예요.
is in danger.
그 영혼은
The spirit
사라지질 않아요.
doesn't disappear.
한번 하나님이
Once
만들어
God
주셨으면
makes the spirit,
그 영혼은
that
사라지질
spirit never
않습니다.
ceases to exist.
그 영혼을
God
사람의
placed such a
몸에다가
spirit into the
담아놓으셨어요.
body of man.
그래서 우리 사람은
Thus,
이 몸만 있는 게
man is
아니라
not only made up of body, he also has a
영혼은
spirit.
뭐
It
120년
is
살까지
said that the human body
오래
can
살면
live
120년
up
때는
to
살아야 된다고 얘기를
120
합니다.
years at most.
120년 다
Even if a
살면
person lives a
사라집니다.
full
사라지는
120
것이고
years, the body
사라져서
perishes.
흙으로
It ceases to
변화되는데
breathe and
그렇다고
returns
그
to
사람이
dust.
없어졌느냐?
However, does that
없어지지
mean
않습니다.
that man ceases to
존재합니다.
exist? No, he still
그런 것을
exists.
어렴풋이 알기
Because
때문에
people have had a faint
옛날부터
idea of
많은
this from a
사람들이
long time ago,
하나님의 존재를
many
인정을
have
했습니다.
acknowledged the existence of spirit.
그리고 그러한 체험도
And
많은
there
사람이
have
했어요.
been many
그리고
experiences
그런
of the
이야기들이 전해
spiritual, which
내려오고
have been
그런
passed
기록들이
down
많이
through word
있습니다.
of mouth and written
우리는
records.
그거를
People tend
젊은
to
걸
treat them as
알겠다고 그러고
myths or legends
무시하지만
and
다
disregard them,
사실입니다.
but they are true.
사람이
Just
육신을
because a
떠난다고
person
모든 것을
departed
떠나는
from
게
his
아니고
body, that does
그
not
사람의
mean everything is
인격은
over.
사라지지
The person's
않습니다.
personality doesn't
그 영혼은
disappear.
인격을
That
가리켜
eternal
우리는
person is
영혼이라고
what we
해요.
call soul.
그 사람은
Man
몸만 있는 것이
doesn't
아니라
only have a
영혼이
body,
있습니다.
but also has a spirit.
문제는
The
뭐냐면은
problem is that
이 영혼이
there
가야
are
될
two
길은
paths for
두 갈래가 있어요.
a spirit to take.
대충 간단하게 말해서 크게 두 갈래가 있습니다.
To put it simply,
하나는
there are two
원래 영혼은
pathways. One of
하나님에게
them
나왔기 때문에
is going back to
하나님을 보는
God.
것으로
For
가능합니다.
a spirit originally came from
근데
him. However,
이 영혼이
this spirit
하나님을 거역하고 하나님을
has
무시하고
become a
하나님을
being that
비난하고
disdains God, rebelling
하나님을
against him,
욕하고
betraying him,
하나님을 인정하지
speaking
않고
blasphemously of
그런
him,
존재가
and
돼버린
living in denial of him.
바로 그것을
This
가리켜
is
죄인이라고 합니다.
called a sinner. Man is not a sinner merely because he committed a robbery, but rather because he denies and despises God, their Creator who provides life, breath, and everything else. This state of being is called a sinner. For this reason, man cannot come before God. Because of man's hostility towards God, he cannot receive Him either. That is why such a spirit has to go to a place that is irrelevant to God, completely irrelevant to His love and His joy. What would there remain if man doesn't have God's love? What would man be left with if he doesn't have God's joy? What would be for man if he's without God's love? There is only death, curses, suffering, and darkness. Such a person must go to that place. Therefore, those who will go there wander on this earth, being in terrible torment because they know their miserable state. Such beings are called demons. Secular people worship demons, don't they? However, we are not to worship demons. We ought to meet God to ensure we don't become such beings, but return to Him. The time you have on this earth is the time you should meet God. Only by having fellowship with God can we go to where He is. That place is filled with inexpressible happiness and joy. That place where there is the most and greatest joy, the joy of God, is called heaven. You have probably heard it referred to as heaven or the kingdom of heaven. It is God's house. According to the words of the Bible, it is God the Father's house, a home filled with His love, where the Father grants every good thing He has. This is where we must go. It is also called the kingdom of heaven, for it is a kingdom. So we will go there. Some people mistakenly think that we go to heaven only after we die. It's not necessarily after death that we go there. It is when Jesus returns that we go there. Jesus may come after we die, or He may return while we are still living. But once Jesus returns, those who have already departed from this world will also be resurrected. They will be resurrected to enter the kingdom of heaven. Resurrection means to live again, to live again. However, that doesn't mean that the body that died returns from dust and becomes a body again. Once the body returns to dust, it never returns. However, a spirit still remains. Our spirit will be transformed. It will be transformed into a body, yet this body will never decay. It will be a spiritual, everlasting body. When Jesus was resurrected and ascended to heaven, He didn't go as a ghost, but rather in His body. The kingdom of heaven is where we enter with a body. It is not a place where ghosts float around, but where we will go in body. Later, we will be resurrected and put on a body. This body, we have clearly has senses. We can eat and shake hands similarly. The body we will have after the resurrection, when Jesus returns, we also have senses, but do not think that the body we will have then will be the same as the body we have now. The body will not feel tired. It will not have a disability, and it does not need to go back to dust. It is not weak like the body we have on earth, but it is a body that will exist eternally in heaven. That's the body we will have when we enter heaven. The body will be able to eat, touch, and so hug one another. Jesus is already in heaven with such a body. And this is what we hope for. Even though we are afflicted on earth, we endeavor to lead a sound faith life in the present time so that we may live well in that eternal body in heaven. What glory will we receive in heaven? What will be our standard of living in heaven? The answers to these questions are influenced by the kind of life we live on earth. Anyone who labors for the works that please to God will have a very high standard of living in heaven. On the contrary, anyone who has only received salvation but has not done anything for the kingdom of God or his own spirit will only obtain salvation and nothing more. Of course, he will go to heaven, but the glory he will be given in the kingdom of heaven will be minuscule. Such a person will regret deeply. Presently, it may be hard to understand or even perceive. However, we have sure evidence for this. If we didn't believe this to be true, we wouldn't be able to lead our faith lives as we do. Ever since I put my faith in Jesus, I have practically lived at church every Lord's Day, although I am at church every day now. Ever since I started believing Jesus, even before I became a pastor, I simply live at church on Lord's Days. If I didn't have faith, I would not have come to church on those countless days. I wouldn't have served God. If I didn't have this faith regarding heaven and the resurrection, I wouldn't be so zealous in coming to church. It would seem like a waste of time if there were no resurrection. However, everything I do will be counted up and rewarded back to me. I saw something later on this earth, but in heaven, I will reap much more. I sow with the perishable on earth, but in heaven, I will reap what is imperishable. It definitely pays off. It's a great deal. That is why we lead our faith lives. However, everything we will experience in heaven is unseen in the present time. For this reason, people tend to think, yes, let's just say that there is such a thing, so long as it gives peace in our hearts. But that's not how it is. We are not simply supposing that heaven exists. Heaven is real. But where is the evidence? One might ask, do you have evidence for that? Yes, we do. If there were no evidence, how could I believe that? If it were just a supposition that might or might not be true, why should I believe that? If I spend my whole lifetime believing, only to find out in the end that there was no evidence for what I believed, and it later turned out not to be true, and that is really the end, how great would the loss be? I have only one shot at life in this world. Without evidence, I couldn't believe. Thankfully, we have a lot of evidence. The greatest evidence we have is that we have received the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God has come into us. Secular people get possessed by spirits through shamanic rituals. They receive demons. When demons enter a person, strange powers manifest. This is similar for us. Believers in Jesus also receive a spirit, but it is not a demon. It is the Spirit of God. If you believe in Jesus, you will receive the Spirit of God. A demon possessed person manifests demonic power, but what power will be displayed if one receives the Spirit of God? The power of the Creator God will manifest. Incredible things will happen. This is not limited to certain people. The Holy Spirit is granted to all believers in Jesus. Whoever earnestly prays, wants, and asks will definitely receive the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, extraordinary things that were never before experienced will take place. Personally, when I received the Holy Spirit, a change took place in me. Up to that time, even though I read the Bible, I could only accept it intellectually. I had heard so much, but I couldn't believe. When others prayed at church, I thought, are they crazy? I attended a church for a few months like that. I was very troubled and bothered when others prayed in tongues. Although I was told to tithe, I didn't tithe because I didn't believe. Yet I went to church because I wanted to believe something. But I didn't have faith. Yet the moment the Holy Spirit came upon me, I was changed instantly. The important thing is that Jesus already promised this. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will teach you to understand the word which you couldn't understand before. He will give you the understanding of the word of truth. He will guide you into all truth. This was His promise. Sure enough, the moment I received the Holy Spirit, the first word that popped out of my mouth was Father. Up until the moment of receiving the Holy Spirit, I had never called God Father. I simply said God, and I said, if you are leaving, please meet with me. Others told me to call God Father, but I just couldn't get myself to say that. The reason was I had a father at home, so how can I call anyone else my father? Yet at the moment when I received the Holy Spirit, a word burst out from deep inside my heart. I cried, Father. In that instant, I knew that the Father of my spirit is God. Prior to that time, I couldn't get myself to believe even though I wanted to. But when the Holy Spirit came, I just knew it. I didn't only believe, but I came to know it. And all of a sudden, I had no doubt. If God did create heaven and earth, then how could they come into being? Previously, I couldn't believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross. I used to wonder, what great sin did I commit that I have to die for it? And for that sin, God's Son had to die? How could His death 2,000 years ago benefit me? It didn't really hit home. However, I believed everything once the Holy Spirit came upon me. In the same moment, a cry burst out of me like a baby who had just found his mom again. You may or may not have a memory of this when you are a child, but I do. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I woke up from sleep and nobody was home. My mother wasn't home. I looked for her, but she was nowhere. I was afraid and began crying. For about an hour or two, I kept crying. In the end, I was so exhausted I couldn't cry anymore. I was trembling in fear at home. Later, my mother came home. And that moment, when our eyes met, what do I think I did? I burst out crying. As soon as I saw my mom, the one I missed immensely for 2 hours, all the fear in my heart exploded and I burst into tears. It was a similar experience I had when I received the Holy Spirit. I had been wanting to meet God. I was lost and I kept seeking Him, saying, God, if you're alive, let me know you. Yet, I couldn't find Him, but as soon as I received the Holy Spirit, I came to know Him. It was as if I had seen God. So, from my inmost being, from my spirit, a cry burst out. That day, I cried for about an hour and a half. There were many people around me. Because the sermon was about to start, I had to quiet down and couldn't cry anymore. But until then, I cried for a full hour and a half. And yet, even as I cried, I was so happy. I wept and wept. It wasn't just the tears that ran down. I wept aloud. I was a complete mess of tears and snot. Since that day, I have become a man who met God. I received the Holy Spirit. After that happened, reading the Bible was completely different. Up until then, the Bible was boring to read. read. But all of a sudden, I was able to understand everything it was saying. Furthermore, the word came into my heart. It was fascinating. Even a day ago, I couldn't understand what I was reading in the Bible, but now I was able to understand. How incredible! Also, Pastor Gideon Kim taught us that power will accompany us when we receive the Holy Spirit. What kind of power? When you lay hands on the sick, they will get well. So, from the moment I had the faith in Jesus, I started laying hands on the sick, whether they got well or not. Because I just believed and obeyed, people I prayed for experienced the healing. They would say, "Oh, I'm not sick anymore." When my father had a headache, I prayed for him. Though he was an unbeliever, he said, "What? I don't have a headache anymore." Regarding these experiences, many people responded, "Oh, it's because he was already on the path of getting better anyway." However, remarkably, many sickness were healed when I prayed for them. 3 months after I received the Holy Spirit, I went into the military service. In the army, there were a lot of people with illness. And then, so I say to them, "If you get well now, you have to come to church with me." And in many instances, the response was, "What? I don't have pain anymore." So I was able to lead many people to church. Even my company commander came to church later down the track. In this way, the promised power of God accompanied me after I received the Holy Spirit. It was in the army that I first experienced the casting out demons from a person. One day, I was given a chance to preach the word to a group of unbelievers. I started talking about demons. At the time, I didn't know how to preach. So, I just explained about demons and said, "If any of you have a headache, please come to the front." But nobody came up. I waited for about 3 minutes. Then one person stepped for us. So I prayed for him and they shouted, "Demon, come out." I shouted like that for some time, but there was no response. So I broke out in sweat while people were murmuring. And somebody said, "Just to finish up." So the session finished like it. I felt so humiliated. However, the next morning, someone came to see me. It turned out that my efforts the day before were not in vain. Someone came to see me saying that he had a very sore throat and lost his voice. He asked me, "Is this also caused by a demon?" And then he asked to cast out the demon so that his sore throat would get better. Where could I take this person at the time in the morning to drive out demon? Normally, when driving out demons, we may shout at them saying, "Get out a demon." We thought about where we should go and decide to go to the restrooms across the field, as it was a quiet place. The restrooms had a squat-style toilet. We entered one of the cubicles to avoid being seen by others. The man was wearing glasses, so I took them off and I shouted, "Demon, come out!" Suddenly, the door flew open and someone said, "What are you doing? This is a physical assault." In that person's eyes, I was asserting to an officer ranked higher than me, "This is a rebellion against a superior. You two, come with me." So we were taken away. He said, "You guys are going to military prison for sure." But I answered, "What we are doing is in the Bible. So what we are doing is in the Bible." I wasn't asserting him. I was casting out a demon. As it is written in the Bible, "Hey, I've been to church too. There's no such thing, cast out demons. Hey, don't be ridiculous. Please call the military chaplain." But the chaplain was someone who disagreed with expelling demons and they called it heretical, even though it's in the Bible. Still, I recast him because I had no other option. So the chaplain came And he asked him, is there such a thing as driving out demons in the Bible or not? It was turning out to be a very interesting situation. The chaplain always disagreed with demon expulsion. When the lieutenant asked, is driving out demons in the Bible or not? And the chaplain hesitated for some time and finally answered, yes, it is. So you know this man? Yes, they go to church. I see. You can go now. That's how we were released. After we were let off, we were supposed to go back inside quietly and cause no trouble. But the brother still insisted on driving out the demon somewhere else. So we went inside the boiler room in the basement and get out unclean demon. And the guy fell backward with a bang. I was shocked. I had never experienced that before. It was my first time driving out a demon. After he got up, I wanted to say a prayer and give thanks. So I said, let's pray. But he must have thought I was telling him to pray. He started praying, thank you, Father God. Even a moment ago, his voice was lost and couldn't make a faint sound. But suddenly, his voice returned to normal. And he was crying out, thank you, Father God. From that incident, I experienced that is this really true? Wow, it's just as I learned at church, how can this happen in an army base near the third is parallel? This guy is not even a member of our church. This is really true. So, as such powers accompanied me because I had received the Holy Spirit. This is the evidence. So what kind of evidence is this? Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, it is for your good that I'm going away. You may want me to stay with you longer, but if I remain here with you, I cannot be with others. If he remained on earth in Jerusalem, we would have to go to Jerusalem every week. In that case, apart from the people close by him, nobody else will get a chance to experience God. Thus he said, it is for your benefit that I go away. When I go away, I will send you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. You will experience that I'm in you and you in me. Indeed, the Holy Spirit has come, even now, 2,000 years later. What does that mean? Where has Jesus gone? Jesus promised, saying, when I go to the Father, I will ask the Father and send the Holy Spirit to you. Unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit. And to be sure, we have received the Holy Spirit. In the case, where is Jesus right now? It is evident that he has gone to the Father in heaven. So we have firm evidence. Moreover, Scripture is fulfilled in us. Scripture, which was written by someone 2,000 years ago, is still being fulfilled in me even 2,000 years later. The words of Jesus are fulfilled in me. His words are still powerful even after 2,000 years. He is not a mere man. He is God. Therefore, none of his words will fall to the ground or be fulfilled. He is the one who promised you, saying you will be resurrected and enter heaven. That is why I believe in the resurrection. We have this evidence. In the passage you read today, there is the story about the birth of Jesus. He came into the earth through a human body, that is, a woman. But he was not conceived through a combination of human genes. He was not born through the fusion of God and human. That is, Mary, God simply came into the body of a woman. He borrowed her body for a short time. Before that, an angel appeared to Mary and said, you will give birth to a son. He will be God's son. Then she replied, I don't know a man yet. I'm not married, nor have I slept with any man, so how can I have a son? The angel answered, If you receive the word of the Almighty and the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows you, it will be done. God's word is able to fulfill that. The angel went on, "Do you know your relative Elizabeth? Elizabeth was barren and old, and it was known to all that she couldn't have children. She was already old, and even when she was younger, she didn't have any children. She calculated that she would be unable to have any children in her lifetime. But the angel told Mary that Elizabeth became pregnant recently. Nobody in our town knew about this news because it was embarrassing that an old girl grandmother was pregnant, and since it was before the child was born, they were quiet about it. Nobody knew it. Nobody in the town knew about it. But the angel disclosed that news to Mary. People who didn't acknowledge the existence of angels would surely have been surprised. How could Mary have known about Elizabeth's pregnancy? Someone came and told Mary about it. It wasn't man, but she came to know it. The one that gave her the news was an angel. And the angel had said to her, even Elizabeth, who was thought to be barren, is already 6 months pregnant. In the same way, God's word will be fulfilled to you as well. After that, the angel disappeared. At the moment, what do you think was in Mary's mind? She probably pondered over what she just experienced and saw and wanted to find out whether or not the angel's words were true. She needed to confirm whether it was true or not. So, how could she confirm it? For her to find out if she had a baby or not would take 10 months, even if she was pregnant right away. But she could wait for 10 months. Yet there was something she was able to confirm straight away. What was that? She could go and see if Elizabeth was really pregnant or not. It was something nobody else knew about it, but she came to know through some supernatural power. So she had it for Elizabeth's home. Now, who would have ever imagined that the old grandmother could become pregnant? Mary was determined to ask her, "Are you really pregnant?" But as soon as she entered the house, Elizabeth says to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." For as soon as you entered, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. The word God has spoken to you has been fulfilled. Elizabeth already knew and said that her baby in her womb lived for joy. There was no need for Mary to ask anymore, "Are you pregnant?" Elizabeth already knew and told Mary as soon as she entered the house that the baby in her womb lived. It's remarkable. So when it comes to believing in Jesus, such wonders are often witnessed. Thus Mary praised God, "God, you were mindful of us that you sent a Savior. You have allowed us, the Savior, to be born through me. Now the work of salvation for the nations in sins has begun." In this way, she had the sign even before the baby was even born. Our faith, therefore, has evidence. Later, we will be resurrected and enter heaven, yet we can experience the truth in the present time by receiving the Holy Spirit. God's power will be displayed in us. You can also pray. You can pray in Jesus' name, and your prayers will be answered. Marvelous things happen. Someone might say, "I'm too old and lack the strength to pray." We don't pray by our strength. We pray by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, ask in faith, then it will be done. Once you receive the answer to your prayer, don't only rejoice and stop there. What should you do if your prayer was answered? Confess and acknowledge, "Wow, His words are true. He is living. Jesus really is the name of God." When you do that, you will not stop at only being healed of your sickness and receiving answers to your prayers, but it will lead you to heaven. You will be resurrected and enter eternal life. Therefore, set your hope on the resurrection and life in heaven. Thoroughly appreciate the evidence given by God while you are on earth and maintain your faith until the end. In Jesus' name, I bless you, or to pick up such wonderful saints. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us faith with evidence. Although we cannot yet see now the glory we will later receive in heaven, help us to possess the evidence of that while we are on earth. Help everyone here to long for and receive the Holy Spirit. For this, we want them to be baptized. God inspired them by the Holy Spirit when they are baptized. And let your happiness and joy fill their hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.